This week on the show, the Red Sox are headed back to the Fall Classic. That's right, they're in the World Series. Who will they play? What to expect? We'll talk all that. Plus, the Celtics are underway. We've got to talk about them. The Patriots, of course, and the Powerball. All that and more coming up. Calling It starts right now. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Calling It podcast. We are recording Saturday, October 20th, 2018. Another weekend show. My name is Alex Barth, joined as always by Alex Lebowitz. Mr. Lebowitz, what's going on?
Not much. I'm feeling well rested. Recording this on a Saturday, so I caught up on my sleep.
From having a while.
This is a really tough week for Red Sox fans. I'm not the first one to bring this point up, but you know,
yeah. Did you read the John Feidelberg piece this week?
And for me, I got to be at 4:30 in the morning. I'm getting 4 hours of sleep if I'm lucky. So it's been rough. But fortunately they've been winning these games, which makes getting up a lot easier.
So for the record, John Feidelberg wrote a piece for Barstool during the week. It's on my Twitter. You can find it. Why people should feel bad for Boston sports fans. And a lot of it was just going through the amount of stress every night when it's your team in the game and then not getting to sleep. And we go through this four times a year, and he's not wrong. He's not. Did you stay up for all the games with your 4 a.m. wake up time?
I stayed up for game 5, game 4. You know, I messed up. I fell asleep on my couch, and then when I woke up, the game was over, which I was
game
really
game 4
upset
ended at like 1 o'clock. Well, you're not the only person that happened to with game 4. Game
1:15. So what I should have done is I should have set an alarm knowing that I was going to pass out for like quarter of one, so I could at least watch that final inning, because I would have loved to see that Benintendi catch live. The fact that I had to watch in a replay was a bit of a bummer. But yeah, you know what? If I'm in bed by 12, I consider that a victory, considering how long these games usually run.
Well, so speaking of watching the play on replay, I don't have cable in my apartment. I have Sling, if you know what that is.
Yep.
So I'm on like anywhere from like a 5 to a 20 second delay, depending on how my Wi-Fi feels. And obviously Twitter's not on a delay and people texting me aren't on a delay. So I get a text in all caps that just says Benny, and I'm sitting there like, what's going to happen? What's about to happen? Like, I had no, which I think is the game against the Yankees, the clinching game. My dad texts me as Kimbrel's walking all these guys on base, and the delay gets bigger as the game goes on because it builds up. So the end of the game is really bad. My dad texts me, it's 86 all over again. I figured he texted that to me because they lost. So I throw my phone across the couch. I'm mad. I'm just sitting there like, wait, okay, how does it end? How do they lose? What's going to happen? Just like all tensed up. And then they win. And I was like so happy they didn't lose. I forgot to be excited that they won. I was just relieved.
And that's what it is. And I think that's the main point with Boston sports fans. And a lot of people don't agree with this who are in Boston. But for me, you know, winning the championship is huge. I love winning the championship. But like when the Patriots win the AFC championship, I'm happy, but I'm more not sad that they didn't lose than I am happy that they won. I just want to fight the losing.
For me, this was specific because I thought they lost based on what my dad texted me, and I wasn't looking at my phone or anything after that text. I had thought they lost the game. So I was mentally preparing myself for that. And then they went. I'm like, okay. Yeah. All right, I like how that turned out. But enough about the past. Let's look forward to the future. It's a little tough because we're recording this on Saturday. Game 7 between the Brewers and the Dodgers is tonight. So here's what we're going to do. We'll talk for about 4 minutes about a potential Patriots-Dodgers matchup.
Patriots.
And then we'll talk about recording the show on a weekend. It happens. I had a call football game this morning. We'll talk about a potential Red Sox Dodgers matchup.
There we go.
For about 4 minutes. So if you're listening to this after tonight and the Brewers win tonight, fast forward 4 minutes and then we'll talk Red Sox Brewers. So that's how we're going to do that. And my timer for the segment is right on 4 minutes. So this is perfect. Red Sox Dodgers to me, that's the matchup I want. It has all the juice. Boston, LA, two huge markets, two of the biggest payrolls in baseball. I also don't want to root against the Brewers, but we'll get into that in a little bit. And I just think it would be better baseball, ultimately, if the Red Sox played the Dodgers. Do the Red Sox have a better shot against them? I'm kind of going back and forth on that. But this is like me at the end of the regular season with bring me the Yankees. Bring me the Dodgers. Make this as big as you can. I want this to be a spectacle. I want this to be you know, a World Series they talk about for years and years and years. And I just don't know if you get that with the Brewers.
I don't think you're getting that with either team. I think the Red Sox outmatch both the Brewers.
I don't know. Boston, L.A., though.
But the market's not going to be the entire thing. It's about the quality of the series. And if the Red Sox win in five, no one's going to care that it was L.A., Boston. I think for the MLB's sake, yeah, you're going to bring
Rangers
more viewers.
And the Cardinals played a great series a couple years ago. Who talks about that? Like, I think Boston, L.A., it helps. At least in the hype. It helps the hype.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's two of the biggest markets in the country, or two of the top markets in the country. I think it would also be – it would be a better matchup for the MLB. Yeah. The Dodgers, I think, match up way better with the Red Sox. They have more top-heavy talent. They have a really good lineup. And a guy like Clayton Kershaw, who, if he is pitching well, can be a problem. That's a big question mark, too.
I mean, Clayton Kershaw, Chris Sale, game one, with all the question marks around those two guys.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. That'd be great.
It'll be great. But still, the Red Sox just beat two 100-win teams in the ALDS and the Yankees and the Astros and the ALCS. I can't imagine they'd have a problem with a 92-win team and the Dodgers after what they've just done.
Well, the tricky thing with the Dodgers is they're a better team than their records indicates, because they were hurt all year. Justin Turner missed a long period of time. Clayton Kershaw missed time. They just got Manny Machado at the deadline. So this team really hasn't been together as a team outside of the month of September. So 92 wins, but they're a better group than that. And that would be what scares me about the Dodgers, is you really don't know what they are because they haven't played together.
And the Machado factor. That's a guy who has bad blood.
The Machado factor is, I want to beat that guy. I want to go through that guy to win it.
Crawford, Adrian Gonzalez, Manny Machado. And put Josh Beckett in there. Who cares? Right. Even though a few of those guys are no longer contributing at all for that team. I feel like there is a better storyline with the Dodgers playing the Red Sox. Bigger market. So that's definitely what the MLB is rooting for.
And the Machado thing, too. I forgot to mention that off the top. But that was a dirty play by him again and getting booed in Milwaukee. I thought that was awesome. And I would love to see that guy have to come into Fenway. He's scared of Fenway Park. I would love to see that guy have to come in Fenway and perform in the
potentially
World Series.
And I think he's someone, this is kind of off topic, but I think he's someone who's ruining his value by pulling off these antics.
Of course.
I would love to see him go, 0 for 12 in the series, or 0 for 15, and completely be non-existent and destroy his value. He's one of the least likable players in the MLB.
He's also the guy that's going to give you, I mean, a Judge with New York, Bregman with the Instagram post.
Yep.
Machado's going to give you that bulletin board material in that series. I think if anybody in that series gives you that bulletin board material, it's going to be Machado, and it's going to be bad. So that's why I'd like to see the Dodgers. My prediction, if that's the series, is Red Sox in six. Your prediction real quick before we flip to the Brewers.
If that's a series, I don't think it's going more than five games. I honestly think the Red Sox
really?
The Red Sox, they're on a roll. They just beat the Astros, they're head and shoulders above any team in the National League in five games. And although it was closer than those five games indicate, it's their team that's just playing well. I can't imagine that this role is going to be halted by either team. So I'm getting ahead of myself here, but for both teams, I don't think either of those series go more than five innings. You can bookmark that one.
All right, there you go, Ryan, bookmark it. Let's get into the Brewers. Now, that was like 4 minutes and 12 seconds. We're never this on time. That's outstanding. So if you're all caught up from the rewinding, welcome to the Red Sox Brewers portion of the program. This one's tough for me because obviously I'm rooting for the Red Sox, right? Like, I want the Red Sox to win the World Series, but the Brewers have a lot of guys I like. First and foremost, obviously Travis Shaw. You know, I still like Travis Shaw from what he did in Boston. I think he's a good player.
Wade Miley.
Wade Miley, right, is another guy I'm going to root for. Mike Moustakas is a guy I enjoy watching. Like, there's no hate factor for me with the Dodgers, with the Brewers, which I absolutely is there with the Dodgers. I have no ill will against the city of Milwaukee. Like, we wipe the floor with them usually as Boston when we play them. Patriots and Packers would be a week later than the World Series. So there's no juice in it. Like, I'm excited for it. It's the World Series. But that doesn't get me, you know, that doesn't clinch my butthole up like Red Sox Dodgers does. It doesn't have that extra oomph to it.
I like that expression.
Thank you.
That's a good one.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think the Brewers.
Great imagery, right?
Awesome. You're a wordsmith. I think the Brewers have a really talented roster, their lineup at least. I don't think their pitching staff.
No, they do. They have a very good team.
Their pitching staff stinks, though, for the most part. I think when you have Wade Miley as one of your four playoff starters, it shows that there's not a ton of depth there.
They have a good bullpen. Their starters leave some desire. Their bullpen, I think, is good.
Their bullpen is good. But we've seen the Red Sox dismantle some pretty good bullpens.
Right.
So, again, I don't think that's going to be as much of an issue with the Brewers. I'm more worried about that lineup. They really have a murderer's row. They have a lot of really good power hitters, a lot of great hitters in general. You look at Christian Yelich, a guy who almost won the Triple Crown. You can't overstate how important he's been to that team. And another guy
tough to root against.
Really tough to root against. So it would be a likable series. There's no animosity. I think you put it perfectly in that sense. And maybe it'd be tougher.
But where's the fun in that? Where's the fun in that? Like, if the Astros had won, I'd absolutely want the Brewers to be in the World Series.
The storyline. Well, the Astros-Brewers would have been interesting because those are two teams that used to be in the opposite league. So you're talking about an AL team that used to be NL and an NL team that used to be AL. But there's no doubt. Dodgers, Red Sox, it's not even about the market size. It's about how much people hate both of those teams and how much people would just be rooting for both of them to lose. So I don't know. I think either way, I'm going to enjoy it, obviously.
I think the Dodgers get the national love there. I really do.
You do?
I think if it's Red Sox, Dodgers, I think the nation goes behind the Dodgers. The nation went behind the Eagles for Pat's Philly, right?
Yeah.
And the Dodgers are way less hateable than the Eagles. I think it turns into Boston versus the world again if we get Red Sox. Obviously, if we get Red Sox Brewers, it is, but that's different. Red Sox Dodgers, you have people spite rooting for the Dodgers just because they hate the Red Sox, and those are the most delicious tears. As a fan, but the people rooting for the other team don't even want to be.
Yeah, it's a default thing. I think that we have an AL bias, though. I think a lot of people who follow the National League, whose teams are in the National League, they hate the Dodgers. If you are a Giants fan, you're going to be rooting for the Red Sox. Same thing if you're a Diamondbacks fan as well. So
we're all five Diamondbacks fans, sure. We'll count them.
And the Padres. Don't look at them. That's 10 people right there.
Okay, so we're up to 8. So we're up to, like, I don't know. New York's rooting for the Dodgers. Philly's rooting for the Dodgers. The state of Texas is rooting for the Dodgers. All the big media markets are rooting outside of Boston.
Philly's not rooting for the Dodgers.
I don't think that – Philly's still butthurt about the Super Bowl even though they won. I don't see them rooting for a Boston team at all.
That's true.
At all. I think all the big media markets outside of like you said, San Francisco is probably the only one, and maybe Seattle are rooting for the Dodgers in that series.
One thing's for sure, there will be way more eyeballs on this series if it is Dodgers, Red Sox, and Brewers.
Oh, it's going to do records ratings. You already said Sox, Brewers, you have five games, right?
Yeah, I think it would be tougher against a team like the Brewers potentially just because of that lineup. But still, I think it's going five games. Five games. I'm sticking with that.
All right. I also have Red Sox Brewers in five. I do want to close on this note, though, and I don't think it will happen, but I need this. Hypothetical World Series Game 7 would be in Boston on Halloween. Oh,
yeah. Yep.
And that would be – all I need is for it to snow. And that would be, like, the greatest night in the history of this city. Because it was like, no. The night they won was more crazy, was more wild. It was probably happier, but remember, when they won in 04, they won in St. Louis. This would be here in Boston on Halloween. It would just be incredible. I want it. I need it.
They did win in 2013 at home.
Right, but it wasn't Halloween.
It wasn't Halloween. I'm hoping –
it wasn't game seven either. It was game six, I believe, right?
Yeah, it was six.
Yeah.
I'm
so
hoping,
you don't get that game seven buzz.
I'm hoping that they sweep it. Just so it's on a weekend, because I do want to go into Boston. I want to ride. I want to loot.
Fair.
I want to ride. I want to flip over cars. I want to climb a light post. I want to do it all. I want to experience the post-championship looting.
Ryan, tag that one too, because I think the Boston Police Department's going to want it. Speaking of, I don't know what's – and I normally go speaking of here. I can't think of a good one. I'm rarely without a good transition, but I am right now. Celtics on the other side. We'll be right back. This is Callin' It, powered by CLNS.
Callin' It is brought to you by American Broadcast Coaches, training the next generation of media talent and communicators. For more information, check out AmericanBroadcastCoaches.com.
Welcome back to Call It. Alex Barth with Alex Leibowitz. Pushing the Pats off to the third segment because I do feel bad we haven't gotten to the Celtics. The team is a top three team in their league, and we didn't do a season preview for them because the Red Sox are on some sort of run right now. But I do want to talk about the Celtics because this is a very interesting team. They sit at 1-1. They'll play again tonight in New York. So I think we can count them at 2-1 since people will probably be listening after that game. But I said this before the Toronto game. It's going to be really interesting to see this team start the season because there's very little roster turnover, but at the same time, it feels like a new team with Hayward back and Kyrie back. It's nice. It's like watching a new team.
There's continuity there, which is something we're not used to. Over the past, 6 years with Brad Stevens at the helm, I feel like every single season there's been an abundance of roster turnover or young guys who might be a year older, a little bit more experienced. This is the first year we've really seen a playoff-ready team, a championship-contending team, dare I say, come back with essentially the same roster with the addition of Gordon Hayward. So you got to be excited for it if you are a Celtics fan. But at the same time, you have to see how Gordon Hayward does mesh into this offense and how Brad Stevens kind of uses his bench down the stretch.
And it's weird. Green teamers are normally, on that boat. They're so excited. Everything will go well. Their expectations might be too high because I saw a lot of people doubting them after they lost last night in Toronto. I'm the first person to say that Celtics fans are taking it too easy on the team and not worried enough. Zero worries about the loss in Toronto. I'm not worried at all. Brad Stevens said before the game on 98.5 that his team probably needed another 2 to 3 weeks of the preseason. They are clearly still rusty. Gordon Hayward, it looks like, is still tentative to jump at times, which, he suffered a serious injury. I don't blame him, but that's something he's got to work through. Kyrie's still finding his shot. Jason Tatum's even looks, a little rusty entering his second season, just trying to get back in a rhythm. So I think Brad Stevens is going with the Bill Belichick method of use the first month of the season as an extended preseason, figure out what works, let everybody get back into shape. And I'm okay with that. Toronto's October superstars. That's who they are. They're the Kansas City Chiefs. Talk to me again in January. If they're losing to Toronto in January, I might be worried. Even if they lose to the Knicks tonight, as long as it's clear that they're building towards something, Hayward's on a minute count right now, which is hurting him. If Gordon Hayward's playing more minutes, if he's playing more athletically, if Kyrie's hitting more shots, as long as they're growing, I'm okay. They can lose a couple games early on. They don't need to be the one seed. That's the beauty of the NBA. As long as you're in, as good of a team you are, as good of a team you are. People rest people. So no worries about the Celtics right now for me.
Yeah, zero, none. I mean, they're not going to take a step back. For me, that is an impossible scenario.
I could see them winning less games just because they're getting people more rest, sure, but I don't think they become a worse team.
Sure. That's my point. They have a young roster with a guy in Jason Tatum, who many expect to be an all-star coming back this season. There's no way they take a step back talent-wise. Come playoff time, they will represent the Eastern Conference. I do believe that. That said, we do have to see how Kawhi Leonard and the Toronto Raptors team kind of pans out, because who knows, maybe they can surprise some people. But right now, if you're worried about the Celtics, you are overreacting big time. Last season, they started 0-2, and then they went on a huge run. I'm not saying that's going to happen. It's just what my point is, you can't judge off of the first two games of the season. And a Brad Stevens team is always going to have these stumbles. And tonight, Gordon Hayward not playing since it's a back-to-back, and he is still recovering technically. So they're going to ease him in there. And once he does become a major part of that offense, which will happen, by December, January, you'll start to see this team truly dominate, and you'll understand what the hype is really all about.
Yeah, talk to me once Gordon Hayward's off his minutes restriction. As far as I'm concerned, until then, they should beat up on the teams like the Brooklyns of the league and the Miamis and all that. But Miami's actually decent. They should beat up on the Brooklyns and the Sacramentos and those teams of the league, whatever. But, tough game on the road, first time back-to-back, Toronto's home opener. I'm not worried about that game at all. Will it maybe cost them the one seed down the road? If there's a tiebreaker scenario, sure. They were the two seed last year, and they were a quarter away from the finals. So I couldn't care less about the Celtics' loss last night. I think they're going to be okay. And case in point, the Patriots started dismal. They're suddenly back up to the favorites in the NFL. How'd they do it? What's next? We'll talk about it on the other side. This is Calling It, powered by CLNS.
Calling It is brought to you by American Broadcast Coaches, training the next generation of media talent and communicators. For more information, check out AmericanBroadcastCoaches.com.
Back on my transition game. You like how I ended that last segment there?
It's perfect. It's a bounce back for sure.
No rust on me. I'm not the Celtics. No rust on me. The Patriots getting ready to play the Bears tomorrow, Sunday. And I believe this is the first show we've done since the Chiefs game, correct?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
All right. So first off, awesome win. Awesome freaking win. Great game. You still worried at all? Like there are things to be worried about with this team. Rob Gronkowski's injuries are piling up. The defense still has its obvious flaws. Devin McCourty starting to look his age. But overall, that overall worry of, are we in for an 8-8 season? I mean, that's gone for me. I don't know how you feel, but I'm feeling pretty good about them right now.
Yeah, same here. I mean, Dante Hightower with that interception last week, has he lost a step? But that was great. That was awesome to see. And the fact that he is contributing the way that he is a great sign for Patriots fans. Obviously, Sony Michel bouncing back. He stinks. No, he doesn't. Josh Gordon, who continues to stay involved. I think that's the most underrated aspect of this season so far since that trade, really. He continues to get targets. He was the most targeted wide receiver on Sunday. And if you got a guy like that to be a big part of that offense, you're going to be in a good position. So, yeah, I think the worries for most Patriots fans are kind of out the door at this point.
Josh Gordon and Julian Edelman are the entire difference right now, because before teams were there, there were instances where they were quadruple covering Rob Gronkowski, and Brady has nothing else to do. Hogan can be locked up by a number one corner, and Dorsett can be locked up by number two. Now, all of a sudden, you involve Josh Gordon, you involve Julian Edelman, and Rob Gronkowski's numbers are still low because he's still the focal point for the defense, but you have a true number one, two really true number one receivers who are opening things up elsewhere on the field, and it's allowing Tom Brady to spread the football. And that's when Brady's at his best, not when he's throwing to three guys, when he's throwing to five or six guys, getting James White involved in the passing game. I think James Devlin had three catches on Sunday. Not that I'm advocating for more catches for James Devlin, but again, when Brady's creative, he's comfortable. When he's comfortable, he's at his best. So the Josh Gordon trade is still just absolutely brilliant to me. Getting Edelman back helped more than I thought. I feel pretty good. I will say a little bit of a trap week against the Bears. They're coming off that major Kansas City game, which was the biggest game of the year. And then you have a divisional Monday night game on the road in Buffalo next week. This is the first road game in a while. The Bears do have a sneaky good defense. Their offense, I know people think it's good, doesn't impress me. I think they're the Miami Dolphins essentially is their offense, but a little bit of a trap game this week for the Patriots.
Yeah, it's a decent defense. That's the thing.
Good defense, very good defense.
What they did last week against the Kansas City Chiefs, it was very impressive, but that was against a subpar defense. This is going to be a big step up for the Patriots. That said, it's not going to be a shootout. I think the Patriots defense will not have a problem handling Mitchell Trubisky and that Bears offense. It is on the road, tough place to play. It is a trap game, you could say, but I don't think it's going to be that much of an issue for the Patriots. A lot of people are picking the Bears as their surprise winner of the week. I get it, given that fact that it is the trap week, but I don't know. I think the Patriots are in a groove offensively, and I think even a defense like the Bears isn't going to be able to stop them.
Well, here's why people are picking the Bears, and I want to end on this note because I think it's important. The Patriots proved just about every doubt wrong in the last 3 weeks, right? They corrected – it's more or less corrected what was wrong in the secondary. There's still some issues, but those are going to be there. Sony Michel has proven that he can be a factor running the football. Brady's proven that he can still spread the ball around, right? They corrected all these things that we were saying, but. The one thing they haven't proven – it's not their fault. They haven't had a chance. The last three games were all at home. They're still winless on the road this year. Right, they lost to the Jaguars, and then they lost to the Lions. So playing a third, and those are also two cat mascots, by the way. So you have another Bears. No, it's Bears.
Bears a bear.
I was thinking Tigers. I don't know. I was thinking Tigers. Right. Ugh. That's the second one for me today. Saturdays. Back to the crux of my point, though. They still haven't proven they can win on the road. And that's the one thing that I'm wondering about is, can this team that has some crucial young pieces go in and win in a tough environment that is Soldier Field? That's my only hesitation with declare. I don't think this game is as certain as the last 3 weeks have been. Even Kansas City, in a way, I felt better about the Kansas City game than I did this one, because they won two in a row. They were clicking, and it was at home. That was a huge thing for me, right? How many times did I say on the show last week, Pat Mahomes won't be able to handle the spotlight? Now it's reversed. So I still like the Patriots in this game, but I think it's close and would not be a shocker to me if they lose a close one late, because again, they still haven't proven they can do it on the road.
Yeah, I think if it's close, it will be a low scoring game. It will be because the Brady and the Patriots won't be able to move the ball. But again, I can't see that happening. They're in a groove right now. Josh Gordon, again, he could have an outbreak game this week.
But look at their last two road games, far from a groove. That's my point.
But that was that 4 weeks
they were in a
ago.
Groove, but it was at home. It's much easier. But it's much easier at home when you can use all your signals and everything. You don't have to go silent count or any of that.
That's true. But, I mean, the fact that they have played as well as they have in the past 3 weeks, it's still a positive. And they're going up against a really young quarterback in Mitchell Trubisky, so you got to think that the Pats defense will be able to stunt him a little bit. If they lose, yep, or if it's a close game, it's going to be like 21-17 or something along those lines. But I think that the main issue is going to be whether or not the Patriots can put up points on this Bears defense.
Yeah, I got 28-24 Patriots. But again, I think a really, really close game. So we will a win this week is huge, because then they have the road monkey off their back. They're good. And then they go to Buffalo next week and things get really interesting. Speaking of things getting interesting, one person's life is about to get 1.6 billion times more interesting than it is. We'll discuss that on the other side. This is Callin' It, powered by CLNS.
Callin' It is brought to you by American Broadcast Coaches, training the next generation of media talent and communicators. For more information, check out AmericanBroadcastCoaches.com.
If I had $1 million,
if I had $1 million,
well, I'd buy.
All right, welcome back to Callin' It with Alex Barth and Alex Lebowitz. A four-segment show. It's the weekend, but we're putting in extra work.
Yes, nothing? We are.
No, yeah. I don't know. I was teeing that up for you.
Oh, I think, yeah, we are always. I've had a productive Saturday. I've been happy. I've been getting a lot of stuff done, and now the podcast. It's been great. It's been a dandy of a day.
I got to sleep till like 8:30, which is late for me now.
Nice.
Well, I can't complain to you about that. I just realized.
I slept until 7:30 today, which was also great.
did the MIT football game this afternoon? 7-0, by the way.
Oh, congrats. And, what are they the playing? Engineers?
Engineers, they were playing the Coast Guard Academy Bears. Bear, not a cat, the more you know. The Bears coach was actually a graduate of Ithaca College.
Oh.
And was the captain of the 1979, I believe, national championship team under Jim Butterfield.
Oh, Jim Butterfield, who is the uncle of Brian Butterfield, former Red Sox third base coach. The more you
well,
know.
Not that part, but you know I dropped the Jim Butterfield reference on the MIT broadcast.
Oh, you had to.
Like I had done all this prep and I needed to, like, you know, seem super. No, please, I've known that since I was a freshman in college.
I've known that since I was a baby.
MIT's got a good team, like low-key. They do, actually. Oh, their defense averaging like 150 yards a game. It's insane.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Well, that's enough D3 football talk.
They probably have great strategy. Probably well coached team. If I had to guess.
Very well coached team. Brian Bubna, actually very very good coach. Shout out to him. The reason we're both working so hard, Lebowitz and I, is because neither one of us has $1.6 billion. That may change because I got my Powerball ticket. Walking home from work today. Did you get one yet? Are you going to get one?
Nah, you know what? I'm not going to get one. If it's still going Monday, I'll get it Monday. And I'm only getting one.
Well, the next drawing, I think, is Tuesday.
Oh, is it Tuesday?
You have to wait till Wednesday, yeah.
Okay, I'll get one Monday.
Didn't you predict that the Red Sox are going to sweep the Astros in Houston?
I did, yeah.
You need to buy a lottery ticket.
Oh, my God. You know how I would stop everything. I'd go off the grid. I'd buy an island. Oh, my God.
I would be gone. I would be gone if I won that thing. I'd still probably do the show because I enjoy it. I would just do it from my beachfront property in Mexico.
I might. What I would do, I would pay for like top level, like A-list performers to give me private concerts and just come to my place. Like, yeah, I'll give you $1 million. Just come over and play three songs. And just, I'd spend my money so stupidly just because I can. Wouldn't donate a dime.
No, see, but see, here's the thing. You got to be smart about it. Like, you don't buy a jet, right? Because you have to pay for gas. You have to staff it, all
true,
of that.
True.
When, once, like, you do that if you have like 50 to 100 million, right? You buy the jet. It's a good purchase. Once you get into like 1 billion, you buy a private, a charter flight company. Because then you can always fly for free because it's your company, but you're also like not spending any money, right?
Okay.
You don't have to gas up the jet or anything like that because the company does it all. So that's – I feel like that's the trick. You don't buy stuff. You buy the companies of the stuff you want, and then you get all the stuff for free, and then you make the money back from the companies. I feel like that's how you have to do it.
That's a good idea. I might just rent it though. I might just rent the jet just because you wouldn't have to deal with it, and I don't want to have a business. Yeah, I don't want to invest.
But other people run the business. Like, you basically just become like Richard Branson. I don't know. Like, I also feel like – I feel like I'd get really weird eventually. Like, not right away, but you know who Howard Hughes is, right?
Howard Hughes. I know the name.
Okay, so he was like the richest man in the world at one point. He actually owned an airline, but he was so wealthy that he just kind of got – like, he had so much money that he just did really weird things because he could. And I mean, I think there was some issue of like mental health or whatever, but there's a story about him locking himself in his private movie theater for a month naked, watching the same movie on repeat, consuming only milk. Like, didn't bathe, nothing like that, only drank milk. Like, I feel like eventually I'd get weird. You know, yeah, I would be doing things like like Michael Jackson bought the Elephant Man's bones. Like, I would do weird stuff like that.
Jesus. Yeah, I don't know because I don't have the childhood trauma.
But I feel like I get weird with it.
You see, I don't have the childhood trauma of Michael Jackson, so I don't know.
I don't either. I know, and I don't either. But I feel like when you get that rich, you just get weird.
Yeah, you got to have people to keep you in check.
Become eccentric.
Well, there's also, you know, McAfee, the security software.
Yeah.
The guy who created that is like a billionaire. And this is NSFW, by the way. But speaking of buttholes, he likes to get pooped on. Like, he literally pays people to poop on him.
Right. Rich people get so weak. Even like, look at Elon Musk tweeting that he bought Fortnite to shut it down so kids wouldn't lose their virginity.
No, kids would lose their virginity.
That's so random. Right. So kids wouldn't be virgins. Sorry, got to cross up.
Elon Musk is a different breed because he's an alien. That guy's so smart
weird. He put his car in space.
Yeah.
Does Elon Musk even think about putting his car in space if he makes $200,000 a year?
I don't think so.
No, absolutely not.
But that's because of his invention. That's because of it. He's a rocket maker. He makes rockets and all that stuff. So I don't think
But Elon Musk does all of that. He made his money with PayPal. He made his money because he created PayPal.
Here's what you do. You got to hook up people around you. So like, if I made $1.6 billion.
Okay.
Let's just do this.
First off, you got to get out of the country before the government collects the taxes. That's the first step.
Offshore accounts.
Or something like that. Because otherwise, that turns into like $800,000.
Can we put it on the record? If I win, I'll give you $500,000. If you win, you give me $500,000.
Deal. Shake through the computer.
Shake through the computer. All right. We shook. Deal. So you got to hook up the people around you. And $500,000 might be a low ball on it. But like, I'd give, my parents would be set. My family would be set. Right. I'd probably, like, even my distant cousins, I'd be like, I never met you. Here you go. I'd go on vacation all the time. But you need
$500,000, right? How many, you have to be anonymous, right? But how many years do you think you get by on $500,000 if you stopped working?
If you stopped working, $500,000?
Like, you personally, like with your life, like, you can change your lifestyle. But like, also know, like, you have $500,000. How many years can you get? Are you going to be totally extravagant and blow it all in 6 months? Or are you just going to kind of coast for like 15? Because I'd like to think I could get through close to a decade on like $500,000.
Well, if I'm living with my parents rent free, I could easily get through a decade with $500,000 for sure, easily. But if I have expenses and all that stuff,
well, you can like adjust. You can say, okay, you know, I'm going to spend. You could get like – it's up to you how you spend it. That's my point is, would you be so tempted by the money that you'd spend it all in 6 months?
Well, here's the thing.
Super conservative, change nothing, and live for 20 years on it?
Are we talking untaxed? Because if this is taxed, you're getting half
Like, you give – like I win, I give you $500,000. How long is that $500,000 going to last you?
Well, I'm going to pay off my student loan debt, which is a lot of money. So that, okay, that right there is a decent chunk of that money. No, I could make a lot. Like, I don't know if I'd use it conservatively because I do want to make a living, and that's not like life changing. It is big money. I wouldn't say it's like necessarily life changing. Maybe I'd buy a house. Maybe I'd just go on a bunch of like great vacations. I don't know. I think that's tough. I'd have to think about that. I think I'd invest it and then try to create more money out of that.
The first thing you got to do is take care of all the future expenses. You buy the house, buy a new car, and then like you just take care of all the expenses that are coming, and then it's so much easier going forward. I don't know. This was supposed to be a fun conversation about spending a shit ton of money, and now we're just
now it's $500,000. we became more realistic.
So you could just entourage it, I guess.
I don't know. I say
I better be one of the four, and don't you dare make me Johnny Drama. That's all I'm saying. I can live with Turtle. Totally live with Turtle. Turtle dated Jamie Lynn Sigler.
That's true. You can be. He also dated Ronda Rousey, for whatever that's worth. So I would. I don't know. I'd like to say I would keep working, but like me getting up at 4:30 in the morning every day when I have 1.6 billion in the bank. Yeah, I would work.
You'd buy the radio station. Be on when you want to be on.
I'd buy a team. I'd try to buy the Red Sox. Get a couple investors. So yeah, I think for any sports fan, the ultimate dream, like if they could do one thing outside of being an athlete, because that's unrealistic. So is right. What I'm about to say. But if they can do one thing outside of being an athlete, it would be being an owner of a team.
Well, look at Robert Kraft, right? He married into his money, but he's the example.
He married into the money?
Yeah, her dad was like loaded.
Really?
I mean, he had like a lot of money on his own, but he didn't have owner money, I think, until he got married.
Okay, that makes sense.
I think he put a multi in front of the millionaire when he got married, I think was his, something like that.
Gotcha.
So Robert Kraft is the dream. He was a fan for years and he bought the team.
So I'd own a team and I'd probably do vacations all the time. I'd go on vacation all the time. I try to travel the world. I think the first thing I do is probably take 6 months off or whatever of work, of life, and just try to like explore. Just go everywhere and anywhere.
So I'd go house in Boston, house somewhere in the South, either like Tuscaloosa or Nashville, house on the Cape, three cars, and season tickets to all four teams. And then after that, I'd have to figure it out from there.
Okay.
But that's what I'm doing off the bat. That's first week stuff. Just some like one of those like big ranches in the South that is like all that land and the porch that wraps all the way around the house.
You can
like
go to New Hampshire for that.
Swings and, yeah, but I want one in the South. I love the South, man.
Okay. Tuscaloosa would be the last place I'd want to live. Nashville. Because
you forget I'm an Alabama football fan. I can go to those games every Saturday.
That is true.
Those are my two favorite places in the South, Tuscaloosa or Nashville. I love New Orleans, but I wouldn't want to live in New Orleans. That's a place you go to. That's like Vegas. New Orleans, I feel like, is like Vegas.
It's a three-day vacation.
You go there for vacation. You don't. It's like cake. New Orleans and Vegas are like cake. If you have a slice, great. If you have the whole thing, you're going to get really, really sick.
You're going to pass out, and someone's probably going to steal your wallet. I would get the Boston House Shore, Lake Winnipesaukee. I'd go Maine over the Cape. I'm a Maine guy. I think it's just because I'm from.
Well, we had this conversation like 2 weeks ago.
That's true. That is true. So I'd go Maine over the Cape, Maine, New Hampshire, Boston. By the parents, they probably live in one of those lake or beach houses. And then maybe somewhere overseas in like Israel or I don't know, Greece, like Cyprus.
Oh, you're the world traveler. I forgot. I'm
not a world. I've only been one place. That's about it. But you'd have to get something for him.
All right. One last speaking of, because we talked about Entourage. I floated this theory on Twitter during the week, and it got picked up by one of the stars of Entourage, Jerry Ferrara, the guy who plays Turtle. So I want to know what people think. We're going to close on this note. Tweet at us at Call It Podcast. I've been rewatching Entourage because I don't have cable, like I said, and I've gone through just about every show on Netflix, so I'm going through them again. And Lebowitz, you've seen the show, right?
Yeah, I stopped watching like during season 7. It got a little bit too much for me.
Okay, but so that's perfect because it's relevant up until that
point. Yeah.
So remember the episode in season 6 when they do the charity golf tournament and Turtle meets Tom Brady?
Of course.
So Turtle gets all excited about going over Tom Brady's house for dinner and this and that, whatever. And then Turtle's kind of a bigger guy. At the start of season 7, Turtle's in great shape. So my theory is that Tom Brady got Turtle on the TB12 diet. And people say, oh, the TB12 method didn't exist back then. Mark Wahlberg in the same episode is wearing a TB12 hat. So it's a thing. And I asked Jerry Ferrara on Twitter, and he did not deny it. He did not deny it. So I'm going to assume it's true that Turtle from Entourage is on the TB12 diet.
I think that's a great fan fiction theory.
Thank you. I feel like such a nerd, but I'm very proud of it.
No, it's awesome. That's because I don't think anyone's ever connected those dots. Because yeah, Turtle was kind of, you know, he wasn't the greatest looking. He had the hat on, the polo shirt, and the khakis. He kind of did the same thing. And then he came back. And he was looking sharp. He's the right. Italian stallion. So, I mean, if anyone's going to help you age, look better with age, it's going to be someone like Tom Brady. Because, you know, he used to have the fat face. Now he looks amazing. So that's the guy
that was
I
supposed
emulate.
To be Eli Manning originally in that episode, and he canceled out.
Really? Well, they lucked out.
Oh, they absolutely did. Can Eli even act? I mean, I know Peyton's okay in SNL, but can Eli act? I doubt it.
Eli might. I mean, he's probably better than Tom Brady. Tom Brady's not a very good actor.
Tom Brady's a good actor. Tom Brady and Ted, too, is excellent.
Okay, he's good. He's decent in that. But he's, you know, like SNL.
Brady's SNL appearance was good.
It wasn't that good. It wasn't nearly as good.
What about the commercial he shot in September, assuming he'd win the Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You're forgetting about also the Under Armour commercial with the Boston accent guy. We've all seen that.
I'll say
the only argument for Eli Manning being a good actor is he's not a good quarterback, and they say everybody's good at something. So maybe it is acting.
Another good theory right there.
But, you know, whatever it is, what it is. That's going to do it for the show this week. We'll be back next week. World Series talk. I don't think there's no way the World Series will be over next time we do a show. World Series talk. Patriots talk, Celtics talk. Lebowitz, you got a quick Bruins thought for me here?
Put Yaroslav Halak in that now. No. Yeah, I got nothing. We'll wait. I think we're seeing a lot of production from those top-tier guys, Pasternak, Marchand, and Bergeron, and even Krejci, which is a lot of fun to watch. So I think this team's going to be a lot of fun to watch this year.
Euro Vakanainen making his debut tonight. I'll be watching for that. I think that's going to be interesting. Again, we'll be back next week with all of that. Follow us on Twitter at Colin Podcast. Check us out online, clnsmedia.com. Anything else, Mr. Lebowitz?
I'll do it. I'll be on NBC's. Well, it's probably not going to be out by then. I'll be on NBC Sports Radio tonight, the Pete Fox Show. I'm making weekly appearances on that show. I'm helping him out as an associate producer.
Oh, wow. There you go.
So that's
on SB Nation Radio this morning, right?
I was. It's my second appearance this week. I'm making the rounds.
Make the rounds.
Pete Fox Show, 6 to 9 East Coast time. It is based out of the West Coast, however. So tune into that. I should be on around 6:45 or so.
All right. Everybody check that out.
Sweet.
All right. That'll do it for us. Talk to you next week. Bye.